Welcome to the Write Your Novel with David Allan Patali podcast, a place for real talk about what it takes to create a book. My name's David Allan Patali, and I'm going to give you a no-bullshit run-through of the tips, techniques, and insights that have shaped my writing practice and helped me create a novel I'm truly happy with. We write because it's hard, because we have to, because we need to. But you don't have to suffer needlessly for your art. With the right strategies, mindset, and community, you can get it done and enjoy the process. So let me take you on a ride where writing myths get exploded, excuses get torched, and the path gets lit just a bit brighter.
Hi, I'm David Allan Patali, and welcome to my podcast all about writing. Last week I spoke a lot about what to do when you get stuck, and in the show notes there was a bit of a free giveaway, a guide that I put together about some tips and tricks that I use when I get stuck in a story or just stuck in life, you know, stuck in the process of trying to get myself to get to the page and to write. And also some of the things that perhaps go on in, you know, inside the mind that can stop you from doing your best work or doing work at all. So that's still available in the show notes for this week's episode, which I think I'm going to do about what to do when you're not stuck, what to do when you have lots and lots of momentum and you're writing really well and everything's going hunky-dory, but that also has some potential to go awry. And believe me, I've had many seasons of writing where things are going really well and all of a sudden they're just not going well, and they tend to have the same root cause. So that's what I want to talk to you about this week, because funnily enough, within my own writing practice, I'm actually between stories at the minute. So my latest novel that I've been writing for a while now is in the beta reader, however you pronounce it, phase. So my wife Carmen is reading it. She's my first reader. She's the person whom I entrust to take the first look at the story and to tell me what works and what doesn't work. Look at things from a reader's perspective. She's somebody that I am, when I imagine who's going to read my book, it's usually somebody like her, whose taste that I'm not trying to appeal to, but who I know will at least pick it up in a bookstore and give it a go. So I hope that in your own writing practice you've identified somebody like that, someone you can trust with the ability to give you just this no bullshit feedback, not without hurting your ego or anything like that, but just saying, look, this worked, this didn't. Maybe expand this, maybe expand that. It's a terrifying thing to have somebody read your work. So you kind of got to hold on to all of your patience and all of your nerve. And I often have to stop myself from asking questions to her, like, you know, is it good? Did you find that funny? Or even not be in the same room while she's reading it and making copious notes in the margins. But it's a very, very valuable thing to do, because in our own work, we can't often see the forest from the trees. So somebody can come in and help you prune them, I suppose. But that finishing that story, to me, represented the end of a very long and very fruitful writing process where I was writing very regularly and editing very regularly and rewriting very regularly and being quite disciplined. And all of a sudden, I've handed over this manuscript, and I'm, for a little while there, I was just kind of, you know, you walk outside into the sunshine blinking and going, wow, there's a whole other world outside. I'm terrified and I want to go back inside and start writing again. So what I've tried to do is keep that momentum up by writing flash fiction and by sketching out an idea that has been in my mind for a while for a new novel. So I think if you want to keep up your writing momentum, don't be between stories. Always have something on the boil. One of my favorite writers, Stephen Pressfield, talks about this in The War of Art. If you haven't read it, go get it. He says he took some time off and went out to Big Sur in California and wrote on an old typewriter in the back of his van for months and months and months, and finally got to the end of this thing while, you know, absolutely beasting himself every day to finish this story. Finally takes it over to his friend and says, hey, who his friend was also a writer, hey, I just finished my novel. And his friend, who's the writer, sitting there typing, cigarette in his mouth, and he just looks up and goes, good, write another one, start today. Enough, he keeps writing. I think that's pretty good advice. you've got to the top of the mountain, you've got to get to the top of another one, preferably a taller mountain. So if you've got good momentum in a story, even if you've finished something, finished a draft, and maybe you've decided to put it in a bottom drawer for a while to let it marinate, or give it off to a beta reader or a beta reader to give you some feedback for, or you're going to submit it to somewhere, don't sit on your butt and watch Netflix or drink wine and cheese. You know, you can pat yourself on the back for a little bit. It's a really good achievement to have reached the end of something, but pick something else up again. That writing muscle quickly atrophies. But also, not picking up another story, I think you're missing an opportunity, because your brain has been focused on one particular story for so long, all of a sudden, that's not there anymore. And all the other thoughts that you've been pushing away can now bubble to the surface. So there could be some fantastic creativity that you're missing out on by kind of shunting it to the side and saying, "No, I'm tired. I want to keep going on. You know, I just want to relax for a bit." Don't relax. Do something else. Move to another project that's going to push you and fulfill you. So, but on a more practical level, you know, say you're stuck. You're right in the middle of the story. You've got some great momentum going on. How do you keep up that momentum? Well, I think the main thing that you've got to do is to take care of yourself. Avoid burnout. It's really, really tempting from watching, you know, countless Hollywood movies where, you know, there's that trope of the writer, you know, in an attic with sheet lightning flitting through the windows, and they're typing away and then scrunching up bits of paper and chucking them in the waste paper basket, and then it flashes forward 6 weeks and they emerge with a huge beard or completely disheveled hair with the manuscript. And they've pushed themselves to the absolute limits of what a human can physically and mentally endure, but they've come out with the piece of art. That's bullshit. There are some artists who maybe have done that, and I know that in some drafts I've done similar things, but it's always come at a huge mental or physical cost. This is a marathon, not a sprint. It's an unglamorous way of looking at the writing process, that this does take a long time. It is iterative. It's painful. It can be boring. But it's also a completely joyful thing to go through. So take care of yourself. Go for walks. Keep up your lunch dates with friends. Go out into the world and see things. Don't lock yourself away like some bloody hermit. I mean, I heard Tim Winton speak the other week about the writing of Dirt Music, where for 55 days... after he'd actually written this thing, he was about to send it off to his agent and to his publisher, but it was wrong. So for 55 days, he devoted himself like a total ascete to just rewriting this thing from the ground up. And he said, you know, at the end of it, "Look, whilst I'm glad I did it, it's just a book. It wasn't worth really, you know, distressing his family and punishing his own soul for." I mean, he's glad. So there's got to be a balance there between those things. Maybe sometimes you really do have to go all in, but I think overall, practice self-care to avoid that level of burnout. You don't want writing to become something that is a terrible thing in your life. It has to be at least partway enjoyable. And I think the best writing doesn't come from a place of desperation. It comes from a place of confidence, and it comes from a place of deep repetition and comfort within yourself. There can be an element of, you know, I've just got to do this and I've got to get this out, and that's good. You've got to get out of your own way to get good words on the page. But keep up going to the gym, eat your vegetables, all those kinds of mothering statements. I think they're really, really important. And if you've ever had the joy of going away on a writing retreat, that's even more important, because you'll find that, say, you've got 5 or 6 hours or even more a day to sit at a desk. Sitting at a desk is a pretty hard thing to do. Standing at a desk is a pretty hard thing to do for an extended period of time. You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to sort of treat yourself a bit like an athlete in some ways, you know, sub yourself off onto the interchange bench. I also would say follow it. Don't force it. It's tempting when we have momentum, when we're hot, when we're doing good writing, when we're in the zone, you've got to just sort of keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing so that you can get all this stuff down. But what happens is, I think when you keep pushing, is that you take it over. You're not following it, you're pushing it. And you can kill it very quickly by doing that. anyone who's ever, you know, lit a backyard fire, and you can overtend a backyard fire, but if you just let it burn, and every now and again you just make a little adjustment to what the logs are doing, you might add a few more, all that kind of thing, it's just carefully stoking it, but constantly blowing on it, moving all the stuff around and going, come on fire, blaze up, you're just going to kill the fire, and you'll also miss out on enjoying its warmth and its and the company that's going to be around it. So if you're deep in a story, follow it, don't force it. I know that sounds quite philosophical, but whenever I've tried to force a story, because I'm like, right, I've written 80,000 words, I'm really close to the end, I've just got to whack out another 10, let's go, and you're just slapping words down on the page without any regard to their quality or even thinking about it, just because you're close to the end, just because you can smell the finish line, it's inferior to if you just step back a little bit, eased up a little bit, and let the words come. Let the images flow through you, get out of the way of trying to force it, and just be in tune with the story. The faster we go, it's tempting to keep going fast. But again, circling back to self-care, you've also got to take care of the story. The other thing, on a more practical level, I would say I'm really fond of the technique that Hemingway espouses in his book, A Movable Feast, where he talks about how he would write every day, but he would stop mid-sentence when he got hot. He also mentions this in his Paris Review interview, The Art of Fiction, which I think it's number 54 off the top of my head. I've read it that many times. Basically just says, you know, get up really early in the morning, come to your work cold, and as you warm up, you know, you can put a good 3 or 4 hours into this thing, and as you warm up, you warm to your work, and then you get hot, and things start to flow really, really well. But toward the end, stop mid-sentence and walk away. And the great thing about that is the very next day, you have somewhere that you can just immediately pick up. You have a thought, a sentence already there for you that you just continue the story from there. And you can keep saying, well, and then, instead of writing until you're absolutely spent, which would be a good day's work, right? But then the next day, you've got to re-up. You've got to dig deep into yourself to find that energy again. And you've also got to face the terror of the blank page. Which would you rather? It's kind of like reverse parking your car. It's a pain in the ass at the time, but you're glad you've done it when you come back, right? Finally, I would just say stay on target. It's a really dorky thing to say, and I know a lot of this advice might be slightly contradictory, but hey, that's writing and that's life. And I think we exist in the cracks between certain things. Stay on target. If you've got momentum, you've got to be I think you need to be completely ruthless in keeping that momentum. If you have a goal in mind to hit it. If you are pushing to the end, push to the end. You are, in a lot of ways, deeper into the writing process. I think you can be forgiven for going at least a little bit out of your own usual orbit. As long as you're taking care of yourself and you're not driving everybody crazy and you're following it and not forcing it, I think you can go all the way. You can go all the way out into probably some uncomfortable territory where you just keep going and keep going until it's done. And you can become a little one-eyed and a little focused on that. But toward the end of every story that I've ever written or deeper into the process, there's always this season of writing where things get pretty deadly serious. And that's fine if it's, you know, it's in the privacy of your own writing process. But taking it seriously, taking it that level of bloody seriously is actually quite fun because it tends to ablate everything else that's not important in your life away. So, the AFL Grand Final's on. Who cares? I've got writing to do. There was a great story that Michael Hussey, the Australian cricketer, told that, you know, he used to go and practice in the nets on Christmas Day and he used to feel great about it. So, And, you know, he did that with the support of his family, and it did eventually get him a place in the Australian cricket side. So remember, all things in balance and all things with support, because at the end of the day, it's just a book, and at the end of the day, it's just a cricket game. But I do think that there's sometimes you can be forgiven for going pretty far out and pretty far all the way out. So if you have momentum in a story, keep it. Do everything you possibly can to keep it, because once that flame gets put out, if you allow life to get back in the way or you drop it, it's really hard to light it back up again. You know, Winston Churchill said, love is like a cigar. You can't light it twice. You know, I think in a lot of ways, the writing process can be like that. I know that it's seasonal and you've got to do what you can, but don't ever let the flame die completely. Sometimes life does get in the way. A major project happens, someone gets sick, a child's having trouble at school, you might have some trouble at work. All those kinds of things may conspire to get in your way. And the absence of limitations is the enemy of art, as Orson Welles says. That's one of my favorite quotes on creativity. The limitations we have in our life are actually a blessing. They are there almost as railway tracks to allow us to, you know, if we have the hour a day to do it, you do it. They're not something to be resented, I find. But if you've had the audacity and the courage to build momentum in a story and you're going well, try to keep it as much as you can. Because really, we're writers, it's what we do. Even in times of trouble, I think writing can be something that can really help you. My youngest daughter, Ruby, was, let's see, about 2.5 years old. She got hit with 2 viruses at the same time. And it was so bad, we actually had to put her into the telephone kids ward at Joondalup Hospital, which was brand new at the time. And they had to, you know, put her on all kinds of things. And I slept overnight a couple of times. And I was so worried about her. And I really couldn't sleep. So instead of just sitting, you know, watching TV or reading a book because I couldn't, I worked on my book. I wrote through that. While she was sleeping in the cot in the hospital, I was there writing. I found a way to take solace in my work. And I'm glad that I did that. It might sound like I'm not trying to say that I didn't ignore her while I was doing it, but it was a cathartic thing to do. And looking back, I'm like, yeah, that was time well spent, because when I think of Ruby in that situation, you know, surrounded by people who cared about her and me there, you know, just doing the thing that I do, it allowed me, I think, to write some good stuff, which is at least something that I can take from that pretty horrible experience. She did eventually get out and everything was fine. But, writing is what writers do. It's the thing that gets us through. It's not just a fair weather thing. There is never any right time to write, really. I mean, you can be on holiday and everyone's like, why aren't you? Come down to the beach. Like, I just want an hour. I just want an hour at my desk. Just, you guys go off and have some fun, and I'll join you a bit later. Make sure you join them later. But, you know, I think it's important to do your work, because the world conspires to keep us away from our desks, and we often conspire to let it. Anyway, on that note, if you're struggling in your writing, just know I am too, and every single writer on the planet is struggling in their writing, but we keep going because that's what we do. There's a free download in the show notes about what to do when you get stuck. I hope you get some good stuff about from that. And, you know, as always, if you have any questions about absolutely anything to do with writing, get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. And if there's any topic in particular that you'd like me to tackle about writing or publishing or creativity, anything, I'd love to bang on about it specifically for you. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Write Your Novel with David Allan Pitali. If you loved what you heard, hit the subscribe button. You can follow me on socials at David Allan Pitali. Don't forget, this podcast is about writing your novel, so make sure you drop any of your questions into the link in the show notes, and I'll make sure I answer it on the show. Until next time, happy writing.